heard Jesus and the Sadducees disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared ask him any question." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It was October 2nd, 2006, in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. And the West Nickel Mines School, 28 students and 3 teachers, were busy at their lessons. West Nickel Mines is an Amish school serving the little, small, local Amish community. And while the Amish are on friendly terms with their non-Amish English, they call us neighbors, for the most part, they kept to themselves in pursuit of a quiet, traditional, and strictly pacifist religious life. On that Monday morning, one of their non-Amish neighbors, Charles Roberts, a 32-year-old driver of a milk truck, enters the building with a gun and barges into the classroom. Now, he's a familiar face around this little community, and everybody's in shock. And Roberts orders the 10 girls present in the classroom to lie down on the floor in front of the blackboard, tells them to lie out there, and he proceeds to tie them up. And he tells them all that he is mad at God because his baby daughter had died in spite of all of his fervent prayers. For 9 years, Charles Roberts has been tormented by his baby girl's premature death, and he never forgave God for it. Robert orders the boys to leave, and the youngest, who's 7, he hesitates, and the older boys get outside and realize one of them's missing, and they head back. They're going to re-enter to get the youngest, but suddenly he comes running out into the yard. And I'm not sure how, in a community that doesn't use electricity or have telephones, but somehow the police are notified. And when they arrive, Charles Roberts begins to shoot each of the 10 girls, one after another, killing 5, severely injuring the other 5, who survive. And then Roberts turns the gun on himself. And the Amish almost immediately forgave him. Within hours of the shootings, the Amish community of Nickel Mines publicly announced that they had already forgiven Charles Roberts. That same day, the Amish neighbors visited Charles Roberts' family to comfort them in their sorrow and pain. They didn't do any of the things that we're prone to do, that we think are normal, right, after one of these disasters. They didn't cast any blame. They didn't point fingers. They didn't attack his character or degrade his memory. They did not hold a press conference with attorneys standing up next to them. And while other neighbors said that they hoped he was enjoying burning in hell, the Amish said they trusted that he had met a merciful God. They never implied that his apparent, it seems apparent, right, mental illness was evil or a moral failing, while others did. And instead, they sought to treat him as a fellow human being, troubled, certainly, but one whose memory warranted respect, and whose survivors needed compassion and love. So within a few hours of the shooting, members of the local Amish community, parents who have lost their children, grandparents who have lost the children, go over to Roberts's widow's house to comfort her, and they reach out to his parents and his parents-in-law and assure them that they would not scapegoat them for what had happened, and they offered this grieving family compassion and grace. A few days later, the Roberts family is invited to the funeral of one of the Amish girls. 6 days after that, when most of the non-Amish neighbors stayed away from Charles Roberts' burial, all of the Amish showed up, including the parents who had just the day before buried their own child. There were more Amish present at Charles Roberts' funeral than there were non-Amish people that day. And they hugged his family, and they all cried and prayed together. When news of the shootings was reported in the media, donations for the shooting victims started pouring in from all over the world. And so the Amish set up a little ad hoc community to oversee the money. And this committee announced, again publicly, that some of the money they were going to set aside in a separate fund for the Roberts family. A shocked world asked, why? I mean, the world can't imagine a reaction other than vindictive anger. How could that community forgive? Why would that community forgive? Where did they get the strength to forgive? Well, they forgave because they take God's word seriously. And they didn't have to decide to forgive after this happened. See, the time to make the decision about forgiveness is before the bad things happen in our lives, before we are offended or hurt in some way. They forgave because in their mind, forgiveness is the only path. When Jesus was asked about the greatest commandment, he quoted Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, which the Jewish people called the Shema. It's the kernel, the essence of their faith. It's the assertion of who God is and God's relationship to us. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. And then Jesus appended a second commandment onto the first and said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which is from Leviticus 19:18. There is no other commandment greater than these, he said. Now, in the Greek, it sounds a little more like this. You shall love the Lord, the God of you, with the whole heart of you, and with the whole soul of you, and the whole strength of you, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We can't love God without loving our neighbors, including the ones who grate on our nerves, and the ones who hurt us, and the ones with whom we fiercely disagree, and even the ones who bring violence upon us. And we can't love our neighbors apart from the God who is love. This loving and forgiving isn't easy stuff. It wasn't easy for the Amish people either. The pain those families felt, that whole community felt, was so intense. I mean, you know, we can only begin to imagine. And the boys and the five girls who lived through it have been racked with survivor guilt ever since. And many in that little community had to turn to professional counseling and spent years processing their grief. If they had waited until after the violence to decide how they were going to respond, they probably would have responded the way we would have expected, with anger, and they would have done everything they could to hurt back. The key to the forgiveness was the fact that it was automatic. It was already predetermined. A life of living the neighbor as oneself, well, that's an intentional practice. It's something as a community they had already affirmed. This is who we are. This is how we're going to be. We're going to be a forgiving and gracious community. And so when this disaster came upon them, that's what they lived out of, and they did it together. They forgave together. And together, their faith in a God who loves became the source of this unimaginable strength. This is the key. God gives us to one another. We are become a part of this community of saints. And it is together that we practice God's laws and we receive the strength that God has to offer directly through the Spirit, but also from each other. I don't know about you, but if I had to do the things that Jesus commands us to do all by myself on my own strength and merit and willpower, I could never do it. I would not be probably kind or forgiving as often as I need to be. But as part of you, I'm better. And I am able. And so together they took the first step and they announced the forgiveness before they felt it. They announced it before they felt it, and they reached out to their neighbors with love in spite of their pain. They showed up on that first day. They showed up with the other family, and they acted on their intention to forgive and to love, and the love and the forgiveness followed. Have you ever heard act as if until you become? Fake it until you make it. On a lighter note, Lois Wilson, who's the co-founder of Al-Anon, it turns out, writes about a little boy who came to her door on Halloween. He was about 4, and he was wearing a Superman outfit with the big S on his chest. And he reached out his hand and said, "Trick or treat." And she decided to tease him a little bit, and she said, "Well, where's your bag?" And he said, "My mom's carrying it. It's too heavy for me." And she smiled and she said, "But you're Superman." And he looked down at the big old S on his chest, and then he looked back at Mrs. Wilson and he whispered, "Not really. These are just pajamas." Now, the Bible tells us that because we're Christians, we're also saints. We are declared the saints of God, a gathering of the saints, the Apostle Paul says about us. And most of us don't believe it, certainly not about ourselves. When Paul calls us saints, we feel like imposters, like if only he knew, right? He wouldn't say that, certainly not about me. We look down at the S on our chest and we whisper to God, "Not really, I'm just human." But on All Saints Day, we're reminded that although we are only human, we are also the adopted children of God. And we have an invisible mark on our foreheads, the mark of the saints. It's the cross that seals us to the Lord. And just as an infant cannot help but love and depend on its mother, to love God with our entire being, it's inevitable. And Jesus pours out this parent's, God's selfless love upon this community of faith through his life and death on the cross. And that love is the source of our incomprehensible strength, which enables us to meet life with grace, even in the face of death. Therefore, speak out, O saints of God. Despair engulfs earth's frame. As heirs of God's baptismal grace, the word of hope proclaim. Commit your hearts to seek the paths which Christ has trod, and quickened by the Spirit's power, rise up, O saints of God. I invite you to rise.